The first lesson from today, or for today, sorry, is from the 17th chapter of Exodus, telling part of the story of Moses out of the wilderness. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses, and they said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses, and they said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called it the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Our second lesson for today is from the fourth chapter of John. You'll note that this comes shortly after the reading we had last week that has the famous John 3:16 passage in it, where he was preaching in Jerusalem, and he goes out from Jerusalem with his disciples, and they're on their way to Judea through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" "Because Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that was saying this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as those to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and she went back to the city. She said to all the people, "Come and see the man who has told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and they were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do not say, 4 months more and then comes the harvest. I'm sorry, do you not say, 4 months more and then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Well, over the last several weeks on your Lenten journey, you've been talking about these scripture texts through the lens of several themes, themes like transformation and being raised up. Last week, Nicole talked about Jesus and Nicodemus, and she reminded her listeners that it is God who saves. It is God who transforms. It is God who raises up. We are invited and encouraged to participate with God in his work. But we don't have to be burdened with the salvation of the whole world. That is God's task. Sometimes our part is just to bear witness to the life God brings, just to one or two people, or to a community, as did the woman at the well in today's story. We've heard two texts today that talk about water. And it seems to me that our texts also have another element in common, the element of misunderstanding. The Samaritan woman misunderstands Jesus' words about living water. The disciples, as they and we so often do, misunderstand Jesus' words and his mission. The Israelites in the wilderness misunderstand the provision of God. They've had a taste of freedom. They've seen the provision of God through the Exodus. And suddenly that provision seems to vanish. Things get difficult. There's no water. And where there is no water, there can be no life. But through Moses, God transforms this dry ground that the Israelites are in into a place of new creation, a place from which life springs for the Israelites again. In the story of the Israelites in the wilderness and the story of the woman at the well in John, water is a central figure. Water is essential for our lives. And we need it not just because it satisfies our physical needs, but because it points us to the life-giving power and the word of the Spirit. When you and I find ourselves in our own wildernesses, we often get discouraged because we too misunderstand God's provision. We expect God to act in certain places and at certain times because God has acted that way in the past. We feel thirsty and dry and we complain that there is no water, that we feel no relief. But as Nicodemus heard in John 3, the Spirit moves where it wills. The Spirit is not ours to command at will. God is in the business of giving life, and God's transforming work happens even as we journey through the dryness and trouble of the wilderness. God raises up living water when we need it, and he raises it up in abundance. But it might not be how or when or the way we would like. God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we think they should be answered. But God made a covenant with his people to be with them, to remember them, and to save them. God did not simply lead his people out into the wilderness to die of thirst. God hears their cry and stands before them on the rock in order to raise up the water of life. Jesus tells the woman at the well, "The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." This gushing spring, this cup overflowing, impacts more than just one life. It impacts more than just the Samaritan woman. Her experience and her testimony affect her whole village. The living water that Jesus gives is more than just personal refreshment and life for you and for me as individuals. The living water that Jesus gives is overflowing like a swollen river, and it rushes to transform everyone who receives it. Jesus' words give life to those even outside of Israel. He is indeed the Savior of the world. The prophet Isaiah speaks frequently about living springs which will make the wilderness burst into bloom. Through this living water, God creates life where there was little hope before. Several weeks ago, you planted seeds here. These seeds grow with the help of water and light. The water and the light we see and use here for these small plants point the way to Jesus, who is the living water and the light of the world. The dry ground is fed by the living water, and a tiny seed is transformed into a new creation. This is the gift of God, the God who is the Savior of the world. Amen. Let's pray. O God who brings life, give to us again your living water. Whether we are in the wilderness or find ourselves living in the blessing of fulfillment, your Spirit gives us life. Pour out your Spirit onto the places of our lives that are dry ground, in order that we may live in obedience and wonder. Amen.